going to be part of it. And I think that what we've been talking about is how do we handle it? And the blessing of being so small is the unity, the fellowship.
Yeah.
That there's a lot that's going on in this congregation, in this church, that I believe that should take you back to original Christianity, how the church was originally founded, that they were small groups, knew one another, and cared for one another, and were just dove into the Word of God. So, like I said, we've been told that we were going to be removed from all this, but God is preparing people, and you see the separation that comes from it. They don't like our message. Right. The people that have left here, the people got up and left, the reverend, it's this message here about a post-tribulation rapture that we are going to get thrust into it. And Joe and Diane said they were talking to a couple I know from Lighthouse, and they were saying, well, what difference does it make? Basically, it makes all the difference in the world. Because if you're not spiritually prepared for tribulation and even martyrdom, you're going to turn. The Bible makes it clear there's going to be an apostasy before the Antichrist takes the throne. That those two are married together, they're linked together, that he's going to commit the abomination of desolation, and then people are going to get on board with him. And like I said, that little video I sent them, if you go on Amazon and you just put in Zoe's Amazon or something like that, you can see this whole thing about taking the vaccine and it's got a chip in it, that's obsolete. That's old prophecy stuff where they're going to put a chip in your right hand or in your forehead. You don't need it. And I think so many things Lauren's been talking about the last couple of weeks, we've already talked about here today, is be careful with technology, what you're watching, how much you're watching. You know, be careful thinking that you're going to take something in your right hand or in your forehead. They can now just read your palm. And go on. She's going to send the link. It's only about a minute long. And I was watching this thing, and I kept seeing that Zoe. And I'm like, because these people don't make mistakes. They know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And I
said, why that word? And being Greek, I know what Zoe means. It means to live. So in other words, for you to live, you are going to need to wave your right hand, and then I think like Warren said, the mark is actually something spiritual that is inside your forehead, and that it could come from waving your hand, where you will now receive the Antichrist. And the technology's here, and so here's my point with it. I think us of all people have to be careful, because what happens is we Christians run with every conspiracy too.
Yeah.
And to say that we're there, and as you guys know me, preparing for what's coming, I mean, it seems to be knocking at the door. But to say we're there is dangerous.
Amen.
Until I see a temple, then we'll know. So, in other words, if we go around telling people, over there, you know, the Zoe and the giant, you know, the DCs are here, and it's going to happen any second, what if it doesn't happen for 20 years?
Right. Amen.
And then people are going to say, there they go again, crying wolf, the chicken little, the sky is falling. So as I said, I mean, us of all people have to be careful to warn people that you can see the technology's here, it's coming, you see a global totalitarianism, and like me and Paul were talking on the way here, you're seeing pushback from people that don't want to wear the mask, don't want to get vaccines. You're seeing pushback, but what I've noticed is, doesn't matter what the pushback is, they're moving forward with their agenda. And the thing that bothered me that I've noticed is, I always thought that the police and the military would side with us.
No, they will not.
And they're not.
Right.
They're not. They're actually siding with the governments that are pushing back against the protests. So, and last week, I'm glad Wendy's not here because I told her we're done with this. But we're really not. I thought last week was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
I really did. This idea that, you know, we've been always given one pattern of the image. Mm-hmm. And it's always Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. And I think we proved that that's wrong.
Right.
that the whole image is literally the last kingdom. That we don't, they might be types of it, but they have nothing to do with this. They're at least types of it, because like we said before, in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11, he calls Medo-Persia the ram, but yet he calls the second kingdom here the bear. God doesn't make mistakes. A ram is not a bear. If he meant the bear is the second kingdom, he would have said Medo-Persia is not only the ram, but it's the bear. So clearly, they are types. But what we, for some people who aren't here, what we start realizing is the whole image is the final kingdom, the fourth kingdom. The whole image is the images. The head is going to be the Antichrist. The arms in the chest are the false prophets and the Antichrist deceiving the world. The thigh and the belly, they're the people of the world that have been deceived. And then, of course, the iron and the legs, iron mixed with miry clay, are the mingled people. That fourth dimensional kingdom is coming, and they are going to mingle themselves with the seed of man. So these are the people who are going to go against us. And maybe you might be handing these up. So I was asked last week, where do you get this from? That number four is fourth dimensional or spiritual. So we're going to look at it. We're going to look at where I get it from, what the Bible says about the number four. I only got like 10 of them. So if you're a couple, share. And maybe if some people...
You're a man. You're in the back. You might not get one. We will see if you make more copies of these. Thank you, Lauren.
But like I say, to me, when the Bible... When God says, count the number, take the number of the beast and count. So God expects you to count. When you see things listed in the Bible, there's a reason he's listing them. He wants you to count. What does the number three represent? The Godhead, right? Clearly. We know number seven does not necessarily mean spiritual completeness, but completeness, because the Antichrist has a number seven too.
Angels, is there a
absolutely, yeah.
From this dimension to that dimension, pretty much as well.
That's right. And so to me, the God never said that he was going to destroy all the planets and everything. He says that the earth remains forever, the earth and the sun. He said that you will have no need for the sun. But when you get into that kingdom of heaven, it's actually the dimensional place you're entering. Do I see a... So I'm going to show... We're going to show you something that about the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. It's actually that portal of the kingdom of heaven. Because he calls it paradise.
Yeah.
And don't forget, there is a lot... I'll show it to you in a couple of weeks when we get into it. But that in paradise was went down, and that when Christ went up, he led captivity captive. Paul saw paradise, right, where Lazarus was.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the connection there that the garden is the dimensional kingdom.
But it also says in Revelation, where it is, that the gates will be open for all time, but no evil shall pass
That's
into.
Right. Yeah. Continually open. Yeah, and we're going to be going in and out. You know, so to me, you're still going to have your three-dimensional planet that's going to be perfect, right? You're going to see, I don't know, but you're going to see there's clearly animals. And when the Bible says, no more sea, we'll look at that. There's going to be, he says, no more seas. He doesn't say no more seas, which means that there is going to be water on the earth. How do we know that? Because there's a river that is flowing out of the kingdom into the earth, just like it did in the garden, right? So, where do we get this from? So I just, if it's on your sheet there, you can see Job 22:12 on the back of the sheet here says, is God not in the height of heaven? So, okay, so where is heaven? Do you fly, do you land, like we said, do you fly to Mars and turn left and that's where heaven is? Where is heaven?
It's, Paul said he was called to the fourth heaven, so there's the third, third heaven. There's the air that we breathe, there's
That's
the space
right.
that we see,
That's right.
things, and then above that, whatever that is,
the dimension.
It's a dimensional thing.
That's right, because what did God do when Elisha, they were surrounded with armies, mm-hmm. and his servant was basically saying, we're in trouble, they're going to kill us, and Elisha didn't flinch or think twice about it. He said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. And what happened when he opened the eyes of the servant? He saw a multitude, so they're there. They're here. Right? They're here. That dimension just needs to be unveiled.
Right.
Right? And that happens when Christ comes to the unveiling. So the kingdom of the height, he calls it the height, remember that, height of heaven. Behold the height of the stars, how high are they? So, did somebody have their hand?
North into the north, that hole or portal, is that
anything? Yeah, they come from the north, right? See, we're going rabbit trails now.
Yeah,
but that does play a role in it, but that we're going to start chasing it. Okay. So, Psalm 102, 18 and 19, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise their Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven. So you can see the word there, height, in heaven is the dimensional, right? Did the Lord behold the earth? So from his dimension, from his height, he beholds the earth. So, okay, so now listen to Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Your heart is the dimensional, right? It does you no good to just understand through here. It has to sink into your heart and change your life, which is the spiritual, right? That he may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. The height is the dimensional. See, the fourth dimension is the height. And God says in Psalm 102, in Job 22, that God is in the height of heaven. So that's the fourth is the dimensional. And that's the real world. That's the real one. This is faith. This is going to burn away. This is going to get redone. That's the real one. And we're the ones who realize it. And that's why I say, that's why these teachings are important. It gets you to understand your Bible. When you understand your Bible and how it works, it draws you closer to God.
It draws you closer to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what, like Warren was saying, you can have all this knowledge in the world. You can understand. But without Christ at the center of your life, none of this matters. And this is what this does. That these people don't want to hear it. This, when she said, well, I just want to love Jesus, and she got up and left and didn't come to the service, so do I. You're assuming that I don't love Jesus? I want to love him just as much as I possibly can to. And how do I love him? By understanding him here. The more you read, the greater your faith is going to increase. And we are heaping on ourselves teachers of itching ears. And that's what this was. That's why this was so important, that all the charts that we've been looking at for 100 years now, they're wrong. I'm sorry. They're wrong. This is right. And he does not say that these are continual kingdoms until the kingdom comes. This is the fourth kingdom. This is the whole thing is the kingdom of Antichrist.
Doesn't that hold into when John sees the beast coming out of the sea and it has characteristics of this colossus? That
that's right. The same
it,
one.
It has the same characteristics.
That's right.
Kind of a teeth of a lion.
Yeah.
Part bear, part leopard, all that stuff.
Right.
Is one beast.
And the fourth is diverse
from
the rest.
Yeah.
And then we'll look at in Revelation in Daniel 7, Revelation 13. The three, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, mm-hmm. and these are mentioned as this fourth kingdom, and the fourth is the dimensional one, right?
More terrible.
He doesn't say anything about a bear, about a goat, mm-hmm. and a ram. He says nothing about that. That was added by people who don't understand the Bible but felt they had to sell a book. Go ahead, Lance.
So the fourth one is connecting like the physical kingdoms of the world, and the fourth one you're saying is the dimensional one.
And my right, that's right.
That would be like Satan's system or whatever.
That's right.
And so that would be from a different dimension.
That's right.
The actual physical 3D space.
When Christ comes, Revelation 11, 15 to 18, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ and of his Lord. And don't forget, I think we looked at it last week, when Lucifer took Jesus into an exceedingly high height, exceedingly high mountain, and he showed them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said to them, if thou wilt bow down and worship me, I will give you these kingdoms, for they are given unto me. Which means he's the one with the power to give his power into the Antichrist. He's the one who led it.
Right. And he came into
it. That's right.
To save them.
That's right.
Understanding, this is spiritual stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. This is all spiritual things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think that you'll go to Mount Everest.
Right.
And climb the mountain.
Right.
And see this.
Yeah.
This is a spiritual mountain that Lucifer took, and he also
used
the metaphor of the temple, all
right?
Where even Satan said, I'm going to make my throne above the throne of the Most High God.
That's right.
You said just a moment ago that, and I need this a little clarification, because somebody didn't say anything about the ram and the he-goat and all that kind of stuff. Just a few moments ago that you said that. What?
No, I said God never says that the ram and the he-goat are the bear and the leopard.
Oh, okay.
He never said that. Man said that.
Right.
Clarence Larkin said that. John Darby said that. Tim LaHaye said that. Mm-hmm. Your Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
If he would have made it clear in Daniel 8 and 11, Revelation 13, he would have said the bear,
the bear
goat
is
the bear.
Yeah.
He never said that. So that was my point with it. So more of this Colossians 1:16. So look, for by him were all things created that are in, you see an underline, in heaven and in the earth, opposite. Right? Visible and invisible. There's four. Right? The fourth is the dimensional. Okay, so whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. Once again, when the Antichrist takes power, it says the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. Well, where did the dragon come from? He's the dimensional.
Right.
He's the one who empowers the Antichrist to become the world ruler.
Which is the same thing that we're seeing right now. The United States is not a power without the power that influences it.
That's right.
The Middle East is not a power without... That's why we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right?
And there you go. So we're going to look... There's the next verse right there. So you could see that the dimensional is the kingdom of heaven, but is it just God's kingdom? Because there's a wicked fourth dimension too. And it's right there, like Pastor just said, in Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. This is, we are to arm ourselves. How do we arm ourselves? You know, it's nice being a small church because we can come together. Because we can look after one another. We can pull up rugs on a Saturday and gather together. We can have cookouts. This is beautiful right here. This is what the original church, I believe, really looked like. And there's a unity and a fellowship and a love. It's undeniable. When you come in here and you see your brothers and your sisters, you're hugging them, and this is undeniable what is going on here, and it's God doing it. He's teaching us what love really is. Mm-hmm. Not what the world says love is. Well, I love you, Mary. I'll pray for you. Okay. Right? No. Love is really giving of yourself, not expecting anything in return. That's what Christ did. So, and here it is. So there's a wicked dimensional, too. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high height places. Right? The dimensional. So, that's what, like you're just saying. These people are just being controlled by the wicked.
Right.
That's all they are. I know we don't like Pelosi, okay? We don't like Joe, Sleepy Joe. We don't like any of these people. But it's not really them. They're being controlled by the wicked.
They're,
by the unclean
spirit. I mentioned a couple of weeks, they're puppets.
It's all
they
are.
They're puppet masters. Pinocchio. They're tied to a string. Somebody else is pulling their strings. And it's not anything in our dimensional understanding. The things that are going on is in heaven and in heaven. They're in the principalities and powers. And that's where the real battle is, right?
And we're the ones aware of it.
Yeah.
The Christian, the true Christian, is the one aware of it. Not the person that says, well, what difference does it make? I'm saved. Right?
Yeah.
This is foolish. Are you really? Because if you desire not to advance your knowledge of Scripture, you're just self-satisfied. You're comfortable where you are. And God never really wants you comfortable. He wants to constantly challenge you to move forward. Keep moving forward. Stand. We're the ones standing. You'll see it as we move forward. 2 Thessalonians. This is a common word. Stand ye therefore. He says stand. We're the ones who stand. We don't cave in. We don't give in. We don't take vaccines. We don't separate and lock down churches. We do the opposite. We do what God tells us to do. Okay, so go ahead, Lance.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. You can do nothing on your own.
Which is a dimensional
source. That's right.
Outside of our dimension.
And it's Christ's spirit. Remember, he is at the center of everything. Mm-hmm. Without him, there's nothing. And he says he has sent his spirit into you. Mm-hmm. So your life revolves around Jesus Christ. Every minute of the day, as much as possible. Go ahead.
Like an example of... You wouldn't be able to make sense out of the fourth dimension by trying to understand yourself. If it intersected with 3D space, you just see...
That's right.
You would just see cross sections of it.
That's right.
So, I mean, you need that Holy Spirit to be, connected to that.
Spiritual knowledge, that's a Holy Spirit word. Knowledge.
Yes.
Spiritual knowledge comes wisdom, comes from God. How did you get saved? Because you figured everything out? Because you're so smart? No, it's God that intervened in your life and has caused you to make Jesus Christ the center of your life.
And furthermore, I think they are connected, these dimensions. Like, this body of Earth is so unhealthy because it's not connected to that dimension like it was intended to be. Because you can, how would I put it?
You could clearly see the wicked moving forward. Right. They are doing things that are morally unnatural.
Yes.
That's a spirit.
Right.
I was going to tell you, like, quantum mechanics, like if you have really, really small particles, just by observing them, they change location.
Right.
So why would they change location?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really work with our physics. But if you were taking a different dimension, you were intersecting it with a 3D space, you would just see cross-sections of it.
That's right.
So depending on the shape, if it's falling through, it wouldn't look like it was changing location.
Well, there you go. I mean, you have a shadow, right? You have your hand,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have a shadow, which is the dimensional is the one that actually can enter into the shape. And
right.
that shadow will come to life. That's the dimensional. We know it's real. We do. And now people are even starting to realize that there is another dimensional world.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not saying it's God.
Right.
They're saying it's another realm. You know, and everybody dies in, like the church said, everyone's going to heaven.
All right, so I'm not trying to make a bunny trail here, although it may sound like one. But that big circle thing that they made in...
The Hadron Collider.
Yeah, the collider.
Yep. Yeah.
They're talking about they're opening up
the
spaces in
portals. Yep.
And you can see...
That's what I mean by the North...
Okay.
Yeah.
And
those
people, they say God is, and they're
trying
to open it up.
Okay.
And
you
enter into it.
Yes.
See
the Holy Spirit
when
they come out.
Well, and that's just, I mean, there's actually people, there, go ahead.
You can see that the smaller particles that you go,
yeah.
like the really,
yeah,
really tiny stuff,
yeah.
classical physics doesn't work.
That's
right. why I started writing modern physics,
right.
because
yeah,
things
right.
do not work.
Right.
When they're that small.
That's right.
They do that we do.
And the more science is advancing, the more what they were saying doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why they have to come up with string theories and multi.
But another dimension that's interconnected with ours
right.
does make. That
and that's what I say. The Hadron Collider, which is smashing atoms together, is saying that they're opening. And even, forget the guy in the wheelchair that said he warned them, who was no Christian.
Right.
He warned them. He said, you're going to be opening up dimensions and portals and you don't know what you're doing.
Sure.
Not personally, when they say they need, I think it's already happened.
Sure.
That's right. That's right. They're ripping the fabric between this dimension and that dimension.
I just want to say that I believe the reason why God created things, he created them extremely small and extremely large, so that we wouldn't be able to travel into those realms.
That's
because
right.
in doing that, then we're playing God. And I believe that's what all of these people are doing. They get into the string theory, the Hadron Collider.
That's right. They're saying that we can figure this out. Really?
Right.
Get your own dirt.
Yes.
You think you can create? You've created nothing.
Yeah.
Get your own dirt. Make your own man. Right? This is deep. This is deep stuff. We're the ones who realize the dimensional is real. And that the dimensional, there's a war in there, in that dimension, and they're going to come down, and when they come down, they are going to overwhelm the world, and they're going to go after us. We're not getting out of
it. Even in Sam, it'll work with Witches of Endor.
That's right.
They open the portal up.
Right.
That's right.
It's real.
And what did he see? He saw gods ascending
yes.
out of the earth. He did not see Samuel. It was not. I'm sorry, it wasn't.
Yep.
They saw gods. They saw familiar spirits that knew Samuel ascending out. And she was terrified. The witch was terrified.
Yeah, it freaked her out.
It freaked
yeah.
her out.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I say. You could see the spiritual wickedness in high places. But here's what I've noticed about studying this. You start counting things in your Bible, you'll see the fourth. You'll see the fourth is usually the dimensional. Usually, not always. But what I notice after that, there's always a pattern of victory.
Right. Yes.
Of Christ's victory, and you will see this pattern. Revelation 12:7-9 says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. So here you go. You have Michael and his angels. Fighting against the dragon and his angels. There's four.
Right.
Right? Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. There's four. It's a dimensional battle that's going on and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon, one, the old serpent, two, the devil, three, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast into the earth and the angels were cast out with him. So if you turn to Revelation 12, once again, you'll see the pattern. So there's going to be a war. They're going to be cast out. This is the figs falling. It's not Israel.
Right.
These are the figs in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Revelation 6. That the earth is going to shake and cast her figs. But God said, not only do I shake the earth once more, but heaven.
Right.
And the only thing left standing is us. Because we stand on him. Everything else is going to fall. There's going to be a great falling away first. That is an apostasy. You know, to say, once saved, always saved, or once prayed, always saved, there would be no such thing as an apostasy. If you just make some proclamation of faith,
right,
there's no apostasy. But the Bible clearly teaches there's going to be an apostasy when this man takes the throne and said, worship me. That is going to be connected with the falling away. And we'll get into it next week.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Could this temple be a fourth dimensional type?
Yeah, and I do, because God talks about your temple is the body.
Right.
And I do. I understand that. And I actually started thinking, are we even going to see a physical temple?
Yeah.
But I think when you read Revelation 11, there will be a physical temple, but like Warren says, that temple actually dwells within people.
Yeah, so I think that physical temple is only there to deceive those
right.
who don't
yes.
truly have eyes of the Spirit
yes.
to see. The abomination is going to be
that he's setting up in your heart.
He's trying to defile that temple.
Absolutely.
God made spiritually.
That's right.
Because every revealing of God upon the world has been spiritual. Those with spiritual eyes saw it. Those with carnal eyes missed it.
Absolutely.
That's the error. If a person is looking with carnal eyes for this kingdom to come, they will miss it.
There you go.
Because the proof that's structured in the Bible says exactly that. Those that saw the smoke on the mountain died in the desert because they didn't see it with their spirit.
That's right.
Those that saw Christ as just a person who healed people
right.
didn't get it. And they fell away when he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood.
That's right.
It was only those that Jesus said, he said to Peter, he said, blessed be you, Peter, for God has revealed the eye of the spirit.
For flesh and blood. This dimension did not show this.
And he said, this is the foundation. Those who have seen this from God through the Spirit's light, that's what the kingdom will be built upon.
Absolutely. And like you said, one of those great verses in the Bible that I don't think are coincidence, he said, and from that, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When he said, eat of my flesh and eat and drink of my blood, his disciples, they weren't Buddhists.
Right.
His disciples, people that were following him, said, I don't, because they didn't understand the spiritual, they were trying to understand it in the physical. And what does he say? My words are spirit. That's what he meant. Eat of me, drink of me, eat of me spiritually, more of me. The woman at the well, you who shall have a drink of this water shall never thirst. I know, I'll tell you what, man, he has filled me with water, man. Like you said, I see a pattern. I am one of these people that I don't believe once saved, always saved, but I also do believe there is a point when you're saying, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
I am not going anywhere. He's mine, I'm his, this is his word, I am not. I lived in the world. I don't want that world. I've lived in his world. I want his world. And I'm not going anywhere. Mary.
So I just have a few different things. So going back to the spiritual eyes and stuff like that, again, Elijah and Elisha,
right.
He couldn't see with his natural eye.
That's right.
His spiritual eye had to be open.
That's right.
Also, me and Warren were talking about the well on the way here and how the well was so important to the people.
Right.
The well being the water, living water, and how when a city was captured, the enemy would come in and they would fill that well.
Yes.
They would take away
yeah, that's right.
the living
that's
water.
Right. Yeah.
That's that picture. picture of our preparation.
That's right.
It's a picture of our preparation. We're to dig a well. That's our job.
That's right.
But God fills the well.
And He does it.
He fills the well.
That's right.
And if we do not guard that well,
that's
if we
right.
do not abide in God, that well will be filled because we have allowed the enemy in.
That's right.
And that's where Jesus revealed Himself the first time on Jacob's well.
That's right. Go ahead, Mary.
So, also you'll see in your Bible where it says, let him understand.
Let he will read it, understand.
Understand. That, yeah, that is, that's your spiritual
that's
understanding.
Right. That's
it's
right.
Not the physical understanding. You can't read it with the physical in mind. It has to be the spiritual.
This is not Harry Potter. This is a spiritual book, right, that has to be understood spiritually. And if you're, like Lauren says, if you're wrong in this, if you're gaining this knowledge for yourself to understand worldly things, you're going nowhere,
right?
And that's what I've noticed. This is how God works. He's taking the foolish of the world, and He's saying, they just believe my word, I'm going to bless them. Right? But He's taking the guys that have had the degrees, the colleges, and make $1 million, they have 3-4 houses, that are making money off of their smart talking, right? They're the ones that are going to stand before God.
Yeah,
God
said, you've
filed my word.
Could I add just a little bit of scripture that's really going to, I hope, tickle you home? Because it's exactly what we're talking about here. Jesus said this about where your treasure is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, in the fourth dimension, right, in the spiritual stuff. Where neither moth or rust can corrupt, where thieves can't break in, nor steal. For where your treasure is, will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, seeing, right? If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled with light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. All right, so do you see where we're talking about these dimensions? Jesus covered that pretty conclusively right there.
And what is your treasure,
mm-hmm.
and what is the light? Once again, a lot of Christians say, well, you know, my treasure is the kingdom of heaven. No, it's not. He's the reward.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is my exceedingly great reward. Now all these things are added unto me. He's the focus. Because what that does, it puts you in your place.
Yeah.
Where you belong.
Right.
On your knees before Him. And it puts Him high and exalted and lifted up.
Yeah.
Because He's worthy. I'm not. That's how God blessed you. It's the paradox we talk about all the time. He commands us to worship Him.
Yes.
You know when you worship Him, He blesses the heck out of you?
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. When you just worship Him, know Him for who He is, what He did for
real
us.
Real quick, explain worship, because I think the church has it.
Yeah. Worship is what is the most important thing in your heart.
Right.
What are you, is the, I don't know how else to put it, maybe you can put it better. What is the most important thing, the number one thing in your life, in your heart, that you are striving for?
Him. Yes. And that's a great way to put it. What is God?
Right?
Yeah, you
said that. So here you go. So it says they're going to worship the beast. They're going to worship Him. They're going to put Him number one in their heart. And like I said, I see it there. Like I said, you see it. You see it with Hollywood. You see it with sports. People worship athletes. Oh, Tom Brady. He's great. He's a human.
So, looking at with the marriage, okay, the bride and the groom, the joy comes from the union of the bride and the groom, not the gifts that they receive.
That's right.
The get there.
That's right.
They don't eat.
That's right.
Well, newlyweds, did you even realize that there was gifts there for you? No, you were focused on each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's our joy.
That's very
amen.
Very good.
Nice.
And Diane had something that like you.
So you look at these Hollywood people or these people in politics, if you open your eyes from a spiritual aspect, you can see the evil.
Absolutely.
And if you can, then you're spiritually
healthy. That's right. We are the ones with the spirit. We should be able to separate light from dark. Thanks.
Think about where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking more about this, when we're talking about frequency, it was spoken. You don't need to speak something that comes into existence. You can see how things are constructed by frequency.
Absolutely.
You can pull things apart
by
matching the same frequency and causing them the same way. I mean, that is strong evidence that things were supposed to be connected in unison.
Yeah.
And they are not.
Harmony.
That's right.
Versus frequency. Harmony, you work together.
That's right.
You vibrate at the same time.
And God says He's holding it all.
Yes.
The frequency right here, and He can let it go anytime He wants. Mm-hmm. They see atoms. They don't understand science.
Right.
They don't understand how it works. They can see science. They can see that it works. They don't understand how an atom could be spinning around and not be flying off somewhere. He's holding it all right there, and one day He's going to let it go, and the only ones left standing are His children.
That's another good point, too. It seems that we have technology out there in the world that we are too deaf to actually understand.
Right.
It's like, where did all this advanced technology
come from?
If we have this very, very narrow understanding.
The greatest scientists in the world, Isaac Newton, the greatest scientists were creationists. They said they were trying to understand how God did it. And God blessed them and showed them these things. And now look at it. Now they're saying, oh, it's all free. You know, the moon just happens to be the right distance. The sun just happens to be. And the moon's just full of craters, that protect the earth. You know, it's all a mistake. It's all blue.
Little bitty moons, particularly great big earth.
Yeah.
By blocking all the
right. Yeah, and then you're right, a cosmic pool of goop that a lightning struck, right? And it created a cell. But you know what? It had to happen again because that cell had to find a girlfriend.
Well, with a dumbing down in America,
absolutely.
What they call an education is lack.
It's not education.
My niece got summa cum laude or whatever that means.
Yeah, nothing.
She was homeschooling herself.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're not teaching children.
So
they're doctoring.
Where's all the smartness coming from?
That's right.
My thought.
That's
if
right.
We're all being dumbed down and everything, how come there's that kind of smartness going on?
That's right.
It's not coming from the natural.
Exactly.
Again, what Jesus said, if your eye be single, if your spiritual eye be focused on the things that matter, and your whole body will be filled with light, with knowledge
that's
of
right.
the Most High God.
That's right.
But if your eye is evil, thinking on the dark things,
that's
being driven by the dark things, and you perceive that those dark things are actual light, then how deep is the darkness that is within that individual?
That's right. The promise is there. Put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
Make your light, your eye single to Christ.
Right.
When you read your Bible, I see Mark, when you read your Bible, think, this is about Jesus. This is me and Jesus. This is about Him and my relationship. The first thing when you read your Bible, where do I find Jesus in what I'm reading? The next thing is, how does it affect me, my relationship with Him? The Bible's talking to you. I don't care if you're reading Leviticus. He is talking to you and it's your relationship, and then you can start adding other things like historical, but it is your relationship with the one that matters. Mark.
Going back to science, the greatest scientists still cannot explain gravity.
That's right.
Or magnetism.
That's right.
Right now.
And they see it,
yep.
Right? Because they've removed God from the equation. Okay, so once again, when you read the talents, people don't understand the talents in Matthew 25. The reward is the same.
Right.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the rest. That's your reward. He's my rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't want anything but Him. I've had women. I've had sports. I've had things that just were filling your lust of your flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That did not fulfill me. He fulfills me.
Okay, so Revelation 12. Once again, the victory. Why do you see the victory? Remember that. We win because He wins. No matter what happens to us, no matter if they imprison us, kill us, martyr us, we win. He knows what we're going to go through. He's not going to let you go through it by yourself. He is going to be right there with us when it happens because that's who He is. I promise you, you will not take the mark. I promise you.
If your eye is single.
That's right.
If your eye is single. If your eye is not single, you will be deceived and you will take the mark.
That's right.
All right? And it is just because, remember, in 13, He's going to come and He's going to cause people to take the mark. He's, folks, always I hear so many people say, well, if I'm not willingly going to take it, all right, but He's going to cause you to be willingly.
That's right. They're connected together. The worship of Antichrist and the mark are together.
Amen.
One affects the other. You're not going to do one without the other. Yes. And I got a friend of mine, Paul Ortiz, who been saved for a long time, 30, 35 years, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, no, you can take the mark and still go to heaven. What if they knock you out, Stu, and put it in you? And I just said to him, how long have you been saved? Do you not read your Bible? That's not how the mark works.
Right.
They're not going to knock you out and stick it in you.
Because they're deceived thinking the mark is physical.
That's right.
It's not about physical.
That's right.
It's a spiritual change within you.
And Lauren, the physical is about self.
Right.
It's
right.
About me. It's about self. Well, I'm going to take it because God loves me anyway. Yeah. Thanks.
Or John, verse or 1, verse 5 through 6, perhaps that makes sense. Or 4 through 5, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There you go.
Gary had a hand up, well, nice guy.
Gary had nine.
All this stuff they're doing with the vaccine and stuff, it's just a prelude.
Yeah,
well,
The people that haven't taken the vaccine are the ones spreading the virus.
Yes,
they're the ones.
Yeah.
So it's starting to turn the world against us already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a snowball.
Again, when we resist, right?
That's right.
As the people resist, the world's going to come against
us.
The powers that be, that are God is releasing their authority on this plane. Right? Because don't think that God's not sovereign in all of this.
You know where the greatest burning down of churches is in the world right now?
Canada.
We're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Diane?
So if you were going into that, it's going to be a spiritual thing with the Antichrist. You take the mark as a spiritual. I was equating it to the legions.
Absolutely.
Going into the pit.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Christ in you spiritually and you have it, then he can't dwell in it.
That's right. You can't be unequally yoked.
You cannot be
unequally. But you have Him. He's not going to. You can't be married to Christ and to a harlot.
Yeah.
You can't.
Oh, what? Our relationship is light out of darkness.
That's right. Right? Glance that Lord.
It was Sam, it says, or in verse 4, in Him was life, and life is the light of men. We're meant to be light bearers.
That's right.
You know, John was meant to bear witness to the light.
That's right.
Jesus came down.
His. He's the light.
Yeah.
Christ is your mark, that's what that says.
That's right.
The light of God.
That's right.
That light is your mark.
That's right.
Though she said, look at that, was lit up.
That's right.
The darkness is the mark of Satan. When you're revealed, that darkness, how great is that darkness in you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the mark is.
Yeah.
God sees the light of His Son in you. That's your mark. formless darkness of Satan in you, you're marked against you.
Exactly.
That's all there is to it. All this marking and stamping and barcoding and everything is to keep people deceived that they're going to be spirit physical.
Exactly.
And it keeps coming up layer after layer after. Look at they're starting to shift. They're giving them another mark. Let's deceive them some more.
Yep.
The same thing that's coming with the disease.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. They're starting to take their masks off. Let's tell them another way. Because they're not vaccinated. It's all to keep you focused on the physical while the spiritual is taking place. Then we miss it.
And that's the deception. And that's what we've been saying here.
Amen.
Since the minute, because I'm sure he's doing it before I got here, this is spiritual. The only way to understand this is spiritually. Somebody, check.
John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit, in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship too.
There you go.
The Father is perfect.
Yep. He also says in 5:22 and 23 that the hour is coming. That the dead, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. There is a resurrection coming for us and for them. Okay, so one more thing about the mark. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Right? There's always a pair. There's God's children and the Antichrist. And Laura's making a point. These things are spiritual. When you do this, you will take it and it'll go in here and you will worship him in your heart. The same with us. You believe him spiritually. I believe it. I believe Jesus died, rose again, and I am going to stand before him one day. I believe it more than I believe Lance is sitting there.
Amen.
He is there. I believe it. I believe he died for me and he is going to write his name in my forehead and that mark is forever. Think of mercy.
Listening to everybody today, the mark is there.
That's
right. What you look and how you live.
Yes.
You're different.
See, to me, Diane, this is this kingdom going forward. People being seduced and fooled by the false prophets and the Antichrist by the Antichrist. We're being set up, and it's the church that's being set up that says, well, I'm not talking about this stuff. Well, I just want to love Jesus. So do I. How dare you say that to me? Okay, so once again, Revelation 12, you're going to see the victory here. You know, God flooded the planet. He said, I'm never going to flood the planet with water again. Which means there's a flood of iniquity coming again. There is a flood of sin called the sea that is... that the Antichrist comes out of. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's a flood, and we'll see it. There's a flood of iniquity coming. So here's the victory, Revelation 12.
Could the sea also mean the people?
Absolutely. It is the people. It's a sea of iniquity filled with people. Revelation 17, I'll show you the mystery of the woman and the harlot that sat on the beast. The waters are peoples, tongues, nations, and kindred.
Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You ain't seen nothing yet. Paul says it all the time. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Kindred is a child of the fourth dimension, whether you be a light or a darkness.
That's right.
What you've agreed to, what you were chosen.
That's right.
That's that kindred, that fourth. That's what makes it iniquity.
You know, I can keep patting him on the back, but he's been saying this all along. God gives you what you want. The world wants this fake Jesus, this phony Christianity. He's going to give it to them. Let us stand on the Word of God and be in fellowship one another, love one another, and draw near and near. Get in your Bible. Once again, like Warren says, stop watching TV. Get away from the internet. Get in your Bible like never before.
Amen. He's always wanted us to worship him through faith. So even when we have like glorified bodies or that perfect connection,
that's right.
There's still going to be.
That's right. You're going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
You're, just meditate on that, that sometime today. You are going to see him, and you're not going to feel his wrath. You're going to feel love the way it really is.
Well done, my goodness.
Right. You are going to understand love really for the first time in your life, what love really is. Okay, once again, 12:12, Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell on them. Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. The devil is come down to you having great wrath. See, his wrath is great tribulation.
I have one more version reading again, start at 11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death.
Yeah. Amen.
We're the ones with the testimony.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of unbelieving Jews in Israel. Not a bunch of unbelieving tribulation saints once we're gone. We're the ones that have been given the testimony. We are the ones who are going to be witnessing the people persecuting us like Stephen did. We are. We are not removed from this. The gospel is given to us to preach into the all ends of the world. But yet all of a sudden we're removed from it? This doesn't make sense.
So Revelation 12:12 is the tribulation.
I would say it's great tribulation. Because I think that's when he comes down as the second, the last 3.5 years when he possesses the Antichrist.
So yes. The great tribulation is only 3.5 years?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there is tribulation and there is.
We've been in tribulation since
right.
Adam and Eve.
So the first 3.5 years are peace.
Daniel talks. You
we don't know. Back,
so where Daniel talks about this at the midpoint of the week, that means 3.5 years on one side, 3.5 years
right.
Midpoint. That's the middle. There's some things that happen in the first part that
right.
We really—it's all foggy.
That's right.
We really don't understand what that is, but we do know at the middle part of the week we'll see a couple things. We'll see the. Two witnesses in Jerusalem, for sure.
That's right.
All right, because when you see those, and he says you'll see them, they're people that are going to be burned up.
That's right.
You know, because they're going to come against them, and they will kill them with a fire out of their mouth. That's going to be pretty wild.
And you're going to hear trumpets.
Yes, and they will be.
To hear the last trumpet means you're going to hear the other six. And that's it, that they start at the midway point. What's the first thing we're going to see that we know we're in the Great Tribulation?
Right.
Okay. That's the first thing.
So we don't know exactly the starting point
right.
The confirmation of the
right.
Right. Covenant affirmation. We don't know.
We don't know.
But we do know that at that midpoint thing, Jesus said, we will see some very specific things that will happen. All right? So what we need to do between now and then, stay in our word.
That's right.
Start concentrating on what it means to be an overcomer. Applying those overcoming principles in your life daily, right? So there, you've got to go back to the churches, and this is how you become an overcomer.
That's right.
Right in there.
That's right.
And so, anyhow, there's a pattern that's to be seen. We are warring against spiritual realms and the physical reality, or actually the spiritual reality in the physical realm.
That's right.
That's backwards. Because the spiritual stuff is real. What we're living here right now is an illusion. It's tangible, but it's not real.
Eternal.
Yeah, it's not eternal. Right.
It's being controlled by it.
Yeah, we're puppets.
Yeah.
You know, I know you don't want to think you're a puppet. You think you're Pinocchio. You got your own will. You don't. Right? Either you're on one side or you're on the other side. You're either being Christ or not. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's quite possible that as the Lord has kept a remnant through the summer between the early and the latter rains.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, he doesn't make mistakes when he sets an allergies on.
Right.
There was an early rain pouring out of immense growth. That's what happens in the early rain. And the latter rain, it happens once again.
That's right, amen.
But during the summer of the Middle East, very little happens.
That's right.
He just barely exists throughout that summer.
That's
same
right.
Thing that we've always seen in the movies of the African continent during the summer times.
Yeah.
It just barely gets through. But the tribulation, in opposition to God's remnant being carried through, the tribulation has been carried through with the same thing in reflection.
That's right.
There's always that reflection that's taking place. Always darkness working against light.
That's right.
But that's going to come to the end in the latter rain when God brings his fullness upon the land to bring up his people.
That's right.
Satan's also going to bring his fullness of tribulation against the church to bring it down.
Yep.
They run side by side, always in reflection.
Absolutely. That's right. And they're spiritual.
Yes.
They're really spiritual.
Amen. They're land. Spiritual.
When he talks about times of droughts, is that physical or is that spiritual?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, in a drought and physically.
Amos says that I will, in the latter days, I will send a drought not of water but of the word of God.
That's right. And that's where we're at.
We are
in a drought of hearing the word of God. Even Christians are heaping on themselves teachers having itching ears that are not biblical. They're false prophets. How many people have said Trump's going to win and we're going to get another 4 years? Where are they? You know, we're supposed to go stone them.
Yeah.
They lied. They're wrong. I don't trust that.
You're talking about those who call themselves born-again Bible-believing Christians who swore, and we got friends that swear.
Yep. They heard from God.
They heard from God.
Heard from God.
He's going to be president.
Who's heard this? The next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture.
Right.
Nothing needs to happen for the rapture.
Right.
But yet God has given us markers. Here's one. Israel had to become a nation.
Mm-hmm.
How could the rapture could have happened at any second for the last 2,000 years without Israel becoming a nation again? There's one. See what I'm saying? They make things up. They sound good. They sound biblical. They're not.
God will never give you more meat to handle.
That's right.
Truly, Israel is being made a nation right now because we are the true Israel.
That's right.
Yes, it's evidence in the flesh, but truly, this is Israel.
This is the Israel of God.
God is setting up Revelation. He's putting his nation together right now before our eyes. We are the adopted in of the true Israel.
That's right. Galatians 5:6-7 says there's no circumcision of Israel, but the true Israel of God. Now, I'll say this. He's clearly not done with that as a DNA believer, right? Okay, so, and when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up.
Right.
See what things? The markers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no verse that says it's imminent. You know, Paul taught imminent. Really? Jesus told Paul, they're going to kill you before. It's not imminent. Oh, Peter taught imminent.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, they're going to hang you upside down before you see. That's not imminent.
Right.
They're lying. The Bible does not teach that Christ can appear at any second and rapture his church. Okay, I'm trying to get through this once again. Revelation 12:12, here's the victory. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, ye that dwell on them, both to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he has a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Where the woman? He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. We are heavenly Jerusalem. Christ came from heavenly Jerusalem. Galatians said, the mother of us all. Revelation 12, where it says, I saw a woman clothed with the sun. It's not Israel. It's heavenly Jerusalem where Jesus came from. We are this woman. We're the bride. I saw a heavenly Jerusalem come down as a bride. We're the bride. We're the her, guys. We're the her.
What's the man-child?
Christ.
Christ.
Christ is the man-child.
Right.
And when the dragon saw he was cast up into the earth, he persecuted the woman but brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of an eagle. So here you go. He's going to preserve some.
Right.
He's going to preserve some.
Mm-hmm.
Two wings of an eagle, of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness in her time, and she is nursed for a time and a half from the face of the serpent. Which means he must be on the earth if we're being hidden from his face.
So why is he on the earth?
Because
he got the boot.
And because he got cast out.
That's right.
Him and his angel.
He got his great wrath.
That's right.
Let's real quick, because there's two different kinds of wrath here.
That's right.
Down with great wrath.
Lucifer
comes down with great wrath.
That's right.
The church will experience wrath, but that's not the wrath of God.
That's right.
This is the attack of the enemy on the ones who preserve the name of Christ.
As a matter of fact, if he's coming down here to possess the Antichrist, what is great wrath? It's great tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God's wrath. It's His
wrath,
which is great tribulation. That's when the persecution is heightened.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're really going after us. Okay?
So now, is this saying that during this, so where she's given the wings and being taken into the wilderness, where she's taken care of, and that her face is going to be hidden from the surface, so the devil is not going to see these people? So
he can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even see them to get them.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are. They might be us. They might not. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he's clearly going to hide a remnant of people during this 3.5-year period.
But
not only anything is haphazard in the Bible. So when it says in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into earth, he persecuted a woman which brought forth a man child. So is that saying that through birth, we are united with Christ?
Absolutely. What did Herod want to do when he found out that the king of Israel was?
Real quick, because the ones who do a lot of the replacement theology, or they would actually say, we're doing replacement theology. Because the woman has the 12 stars, right? And
they say the woman is Israel.
They say the woman is Israel.
Exactly.
What's a good debate for that subject? Do you have even time to touch on
that? Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Wouldn't the woman be the body of Christ?
Yeah.
So
we've had this teaching that's been going on for a long time that the woman is Israel because of the 12 stars. They go back to the dream.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I just say right there in 13, you can't have the woman and the man child being the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Israel gave birth. Judah gave birth to Christ. His lineage came out of that. So that's their reasoning. For that Christ came through the lineage of Israel.
Right. We'll chase that. Let me just finish. I just want to show you the pattern of victory.
Right.
Okay? The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Okay, so here you go. There's a flood. There's a flood of iniquity coming. He calls it a flood, which is water. Sea is water. Like Mary said, sea is people. They are people that are possessed by the devil, right, that are going after us. And what happens when the earth opens its mouth? Where do they go? They're going to their place. See, God intervened. There's the victory. God is going to intervene like he did with Israel when their backs were against the wall. He did that. He put them in a position where they had no out but to trust in him.
Let it rain.
That's right. And he opened up the sea and they walked through it. He's going to do the same thing. Believe me, you're not going to go through this alone.
Right.
He is going to be there. And he is going to manifest himself. And like Lamb said, these devils are going to manifest themselves in the last days. Let me just get through this, and then we'll chase
the
heavenly Jerusalem.
Right.
So the sea, Revelation 17:15 said unto me, the waters which thou seest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the sea are people.
Right.
This is a flood of iniquity that people are going to follow the devil and they are going to go after us.
Could it be an army as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He does have an army. As a matter of fact, this army is iron mixed with clay.
Mm-hmm.
These are the army that comes out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. And you're like, what are those things? They're devils. They're the devil's army. They're going to come out. You know what? They're not going to slaughter us. They're going to slaughter the other people. They're not even going to kill us. God's not going to allow them to lay a hand on us. Read it. Okay, so Revelation 16:13. Remember, the devil cast out of his mouth water as a flood. Revelation 16:13-14. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. What do frogs do?
Leave.
Right? They leave on people. Like come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth.
For they are spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the great battle of God Almighty, which is Armageddon. So there you go. There's a spirit of iniquity that's coming. It's a flood that's coming, and we're going to go after us.
Just quick, Luke 21:35-36. For as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
That's right.
Our armor protects us from the leaping frame.
That's right.
That's our prayer and our constantly inviting Christ in us and us in Christ.
That's right.
That's what protects us from that. That when it says there in 12, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you. That's not saying he's come down to attack them. He's coming down to empower them
That's
against
right.
the woman.
That's
he's
right.
coming down to set his demons upon those inhabitants of the earth.
That's right.
To empower them against the woman.
That's right.
That becomes the flood, but they then are swallowed up. That's the woe.
Right.
That they will be swallowed up by the earth. Their woe.
It is like a general taking the field.
Yeah.
All right. The commander in chief, actually, the king taking the field in the battle.
That's right.
So there's our king of kings, Jesus Christ. And the king of darkness, Lucifer himself. He's kicked out of heaven and he comes and he actually shows up on the field, which, if you know anything about medieval warfare, when the king would show up on the battlefield, the armies would get excited.
Yeah.
Alright, so when Lucifer is kicked down, he comes to this world, the earth. The powers that are influenced by the evil that is in them, that have already succumbed
That's right.
to the authority of Satan, they get really hyper.
That's right.
And they start really, really working overtime to impress their king.
Yeah, that woe is not applied to the bride.
That's
that
right.
That woe is applied to
That's
the
right.
people that are
yeah.
agreeing with Satan because
That's
he's
right.
going to empower them,
yeah.
yep.
but they don't want to be consumed.
That's right.
This is a promise for us.
And
the destruction of all those armies.
Yeah.
That's right.
Swallowed up by
yeah.
He says, let me get through this. He says, there's three more woes coming.
Right.
The fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet. It's not for us.
Right.
That's them. The woe is on them. And how many chapters is there in the book of Joel? Three. All three of those woes are the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet. Go read it. Okay, so let's get through this. Heavenly Jerusalem, here's what I'm saying. Heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. The 12th, when Joseph had a dream, he dreamed 11 stars. The 11 stars are Israel. They're
right.
Israel. The stars are 12 stars. That's Israel. They're the crown. That's the crown, right? Christ came from heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. So we'll chase it. Turn to Galatians 4, Hebrews 12. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. This is where you get your understanding from. Not from Clarence Larkin, not from the Book of Charts. This is where we get doctrine from the King James Bible. Revelation 12:1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child prevailed and pained to be birthed. So where did Christ come from? Are we talking about Mary? Yeah, we are, but where did he come from?
He came from heaven.
He came from heaven, right? So here's my point. The woman is heavenly Jerusalem. That's where he came from. Okay? So, I'm chasing rabbits. When you're standing on something, you have dominion over it. She's clothed with the sun. That would be the light of Christ, right? She's clothed with the sun. She's standing on the moon. I know some people aren't going to agree with me. The moon does not have its own light. It's a Lucifer. It's typology. And I'll prove to you that the moon doesn't have its own light because when there's an eclipse, you can see the outline of the moon and there's no light. The earth is blocking the light from the sun to the moon. So it does not have its own light. It is a Lucifer. It is a light bearer. And the woman is standing. And the earth is standing, right? The woman is standing on the Lucifer.
Yes, okay.
Okay? Even in, and I've heard this before too, and I'm not saying it's wrong. in Genesis where it says the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night? Well, 1 Thessalonians says you're children of the day, not of the night. Do you see it? Do you see the picture here in his typology? Is the moon a bad thing? No, God created it. He uses it as a typology. Okay, so there you go. So Hebrews 12, 22. Mountains are kingdoms, right? Do we have to agree? We've got to chase that. Mountains are kingdoms in your Bible.
Hebrews
12, 22. Where is Mount? Now ye are come unto Mount Sion. Where is Mount Sion? It's in heaven, right? Unto a city of the living God. Where is the city of the living God?
Heaven.
The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church. Church. I thought church was just Gentiles the last 2,000 years. A church is a congregation.
It's a congregation. It's
he comes. It's right. It's an assembly.
Right.
It's a group of people. He called the Jews in Acts chapter 7 the church in the wilderness. So this idea that we are in some church age the last 2,000 years, the only thing that has happened the last 2,000 years at Pentecost, we've been invited in.
Right.
We've been invited in.
We were
invited
in.
That's right.
Wild.
Absolutely. That's it. That's what happened at Pentecost. Not the start of the Gentile church. There's always been a church.
Yeah. Abraham was a Gentile.
That's right. That's right. The father of many.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So there it is right there. There's one verse right there that proves to you that heavenly Jerusalem, to the general church of the assembly of the firstborn, written in heaven, and God the judge of all spirits of all men, made perfect all men.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, of blood of sprinkling, speak of the better things than Abel. Okay, Galatians 4, 25. And Abel, right there? I want you to see it.
Galatians 4, 25.
For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. Do you get what he's saying? It's not just the unbelievers that are in bondage. We're in bondage right now. We're in bondage to the world system that has their foot on our throat. But then God is going to reverse it when Christ comes. We are going to put our feet on Lucifer.
Actually, you got to start before 25.
Go ahead.
You got to go with you.
Want to go with 26?
Before you do that, start up with 22 and go through 26. 22 through 26.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of the bondmaid and the other of the freedman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the freedwoman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. But these are the two covenants, the one with from Mount Sinai, which generates the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and Ansereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
Here you go. Here's the woman. Here's the mother. Where did Christ come from? Heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 12 is not talking about Israel. Yeah, the stars are Israel,
mm-hmm.
but the woman is heavenly Jerusalem. Right? That's what we're looking to.
Right.
Am I understanding that they're showing both mothers? The mothers of tradition and the mothers
absolutely.
Of
absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Two kingdoms, two mountains.
Okay.
Two mountains, Sinai,
yeah.
Right? When the law was given, can the law save you?
No.
Christ is. He kept the law.
Is it an understanding that, and I know that it's not firm to the lineage, but is it an understanding that those who are born of a mother in bondage, they're not going to be written. They're not going to have
right.
a choice.
That's right.
There's the three groups, those that are written, those
that's
that
right.
are not written, and those that are written and then fall away.
That's right.
So the two mothers are the ones that are written and ones that are not written.
Yeah.
But even though the ones that are written, not all of them.
That's right. There's two women prevailing in the last days. Two women prevailing. Heavenly Jerusalem looking to give birth to her children, a resurrection. Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, looking to give birth to her children. The whore of Babylon. The sea of iniquity. Kindreds, tongues, nations, peoples. They're going to get resurrected too. So you can see the paradox, right?
And Paul said, not everyone who is of Israel is of Israel. Everybody who says that they are part of Israel is not really part of Israel. Just
that's
because
right.
you say it don't mean nothing.
That's right.
You got to be in it.
That's right.
Right? You got to have that be called, be sealed by God. You got to be from the promised seed.
That's right.
From Sarah, not Hagar.
So even before the unction, even before the calling, there was a birthright that established something in your heart to receive that unction call.
That's right.
And in that, remember, Esau gave his birthright away for some fleshly stuff.
That's right.
Okay.
So here you go. The fourth kingdom is the kingdom of Antichrist. They're going to give birth. The whole image itself is the fourth kingdom. It's not some progressive kingdoms throughout history. Yeah, he does mention that in Revelation 17. He says that there are seven kingdoms, five have fallen, one is. So Rome was in that power when John was writing. And he says the seventh is coming. Yeah. Right? And he says the seventh is also the eighth, which means he's going to be the head, but not yet.
Right.
And then when he gets resurrected, Antichrist, he's now the eighth and is the seventh. Make sense?
Yeah.
But this is the point that this is the kingdom.
Oh, it's so much
clear.
It is, yeah. Does everybody?
Yeah.
Did you catch all the allegories that we just went around and hit on? Did you see the illumination that sparked for a moment?
Yeah, absolutely.
You
right.
know, there's some things that were exposed here within this last hour that really, if you can wrap your mind around it, will give you answers and hope for anything that comes up.
That's right.
My sponge is all swollen up.
Okay, so no one's going to talk for another 5 minutes. We're going back to what we need. I just want to, I'm going to get through this. I want to show you some interesting stuff. Okay, the Antichrist, it says that the fourth kingdom is the fourth beast, comes out of the sea, right? We see our people. So yeah, it says the Antichrist comes out of the bottom of this pit.
Right.
That's not the sea. See, he's already dead.
Right.
And that's why I think a lot of us are in agreement. It's most likely Judas Iscariot. Jesus did not say, you have a devil. He says, you are a devil. And when he died, it said he went to his place.
Right.
So when he comes, he now can't be killed. He's a devil.
Right.
So when he comes on the scene and receives the deadly wound, he doesn't die. And people go, it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Jesus. It looks like the pictures. It must be him. I guarantee Judas Iscariot is going to look like that.
Oh, I believe, I believe that. Yeah,
his arms.
So it says that he comes out of the bottomless pit, and when they shall finish their testimony, the beast which ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war and overcome them and kill them. So he's talking about Elijah and Moses. They still have to die.
Yeah.
They still have to cross the Jordan. Those two never crossed Jordan.
Well, Moses did die.
Yeah,
okay.
But what did God do with his body?
He buried it.
There you go. That's
why,
what
why did Satan want?
Because God's going to pluck him back in his body. These are the two witnesses witnessing the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is not coming back to Caledonia.
Yeah.
When he comes, he's coming back to his people, Israel. And the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, are going to be witnessing to those people by this. The two prophets, by the law and the prophets. Okay, so I want to see something here. Turn to Genesis 2 in Revelation 9. Real quick, you're going to see something interesting.
Daniel 16, real quick, with those descriptions. Oxymoron.
Genesis 2, 10, and Revelation 9, 13. So get a finger in there and a finger there. You're going to see something interesting. 9,
13. So let's look at Genesis 2:10 first. And a river went out of Eden. Everybody there? And a river went out of Eden to water the garden from thence, and it parted and became how many heads?
Four
heads. And the first was Bashan, which went and encompassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and gold is of the land is good, and there is Delum and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same went encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hiddekel, which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the, those three have directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is what? Does it give a direction? Revelation 9:13.
Does anybody think that's the river leading into the fourth dimension?
Revelation 9:13. Thank you, Lynn. Everyone else. Revelation 9:13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice of the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
Hmm.
And the four angels were loosed, where it was prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. Four. Four. There's constantly fours. To slay a third part of men. Not us. Them. This woe is on them. Okay? And I saw horses and a vision of them that sat upon them and breastplates of fire, jacket, brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lions. That sounds familiar. And mouths issued out of their smoke and brimstone. These three was a third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power, that sounds familiar, is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents, and they have heads, and they do hurt men. Where does the demonic part come out of? The Euphrates. The fourth one mentioned. He's not talking about some river over there in Iraq. He's talking about a dimensional place that is going to get opened up, and then a horde of demonic army of the devil is going to come out of there, and they're not going to harm us.
Real quick, isn't that where the three demon frog type
things come out? That's right.
Same river, yep. Euphrates?
Absolutely. The bottomless pit. The Antichrist comes out of the bottomless pit. Look at the beginning of Revelation 9. And the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven. Who's that? Satan and his angels were cast out. I saw a star fall from heaven, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Boom. He comes out, he opens it up, and here they come. They're not going to bother you. Don't be afraid of them. They're not going to get you. God's not going to allow them to get you.
In fact, they can't, because we have the seal of
the
Holy Spirit until the day of redemption.
That's right.
The lettering
is going to get poured out. Make sure your focus is Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Yeah.
This is important. Fellowship is important. What does God desire? He desires the relationship. This is what church is about. It's about relationship. Because that's what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had before any creation. They had a relationship with each other that Christ wanted with His people. That's why we marry, so we can be into a relationship with each other. This is the relationship that God wants between Him and His people. And we're to have that with each other. We're not just supposed to come in here and know each other. Hey, good job, man. I'll see you Tuesday, bud. We're supposed to love each other.
Right. Amen.
And this is a blessing. This, I think you're going to see this kind of Christianity, true Christianity, go forward the more the spirit of darkness comes. True Christians that care for each other, love one another, and gather.
The power of hierarchy comes in that.
That's right. The Bible does not mention, they're right, the dispensationalists are right. The Bible is not, church is not mentioned after Revelation 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what it's going to look like.
Right.
Go ahead, man.
Harmony with the Word.
That's right.
The Lord set the understanding from the beginning. World would be populated by the family, not by the government.
That's right.
And the church has become a government for a very long time. And it's coming back to be a family because the true population of Israel will be built upon
the
family. This is a family, not a government.
And
it's a It's always been based on a family. Fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters loving one another.
This is the body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who's the head? Yeah. And that's what our focus has been. It's about him. If your Christianity is self-centered or revolves around you, you got the wrong Christianity. It is about him. It's about Jesus Christ and your relationship with him. Okay? Let's wrap it up. Father God, we are so thankful for your son. So thankful that you have seen the depravity of humankind, and that in your grace and in your mercy that you said, I'll go save them. But in that salvation, you desire a relationship. You desire us to know you as much as you know us. And the only way to know you, Father God, is to shed off the sins of this world, to shed off the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and to desire a closer relationship with your Son. Father God, that you may bring us into this relationship with him, that he may sit on the throne of our hearts, first and above all things. And I feel there's no more to be said than that. In Jesus' precious name.